Taryn. It's our Top 5 Things podcast.
This is for you.
Oh, it's for you.
We sure hope you enjoy it. It's a review of what we got done on the Winter Solstice edition of our morning show, which you can hear 5:30 to 10 on Planet 93.9. My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. Hello there, Darren.
Hello there, and the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They've got two locations around here, Milan and also Galesburg. Both are open 7 days a week, and both are celebrating the holiday season right now. There are 12 days of Christmas, where they have specials each and every day leading up to Christmas. Sales are available at both locations while supplies last. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and Instagram.
Bing bong. Let's get into it. The top five things begins with
number one.
Number one.
Christmas Eve here on Planet 93.9 from 6 to midnight. We'll be doing wall to wall Christmas tunes, but like cool Christmas tunes. Not, you know, Burl Ives
Roy
Rogers. I know.
Come on, man.
No, we're not doing it. It'll be the bands that we normally play doing Christmas tunes. 6 hours of it. So if you're looking for something to have on a soundtrack for your Christmas Eve, I'd invite you to check us out. Again, 6 to midnight. It'll be just nothing but Christmas tunes here on the planet. I wanted to share this. It's not a song that we'll be playing on Christmas Eve. We really only get to this on the morning show. It's really, for me, it's not really the Christmas season until we get a chance to share and enjoy and break down what could be, and I think is, the worst Christmas song of all time. It's from 1975, available on Mercury Records. The song is called An Old-Fashioned Christmas. It's performed by Linda Bennett. Linda Bennett, by the way, wants you to know she has absolutely no memory of recording this. But it came out in 1975, and we're going to get through this one together.
I don't know that I've heard this.
You must hear it. It's, again, a staple in our house every year for Christmas.
All right.
We like to listen to An Old-Fashioned Christmas.
Now, is this more spoken word than anything or no?
Yes and no.
Okay.
It's a song, but there are some spoken word elements. I'll get it started here.
Okay, I gotcha.
This is your music, news, and weather station, bringing you the best in Christmas music on this beautiful Christmas Eve.
As can be, he'll be walking through the door 10 minutes after.
I don't like the sound of this already.
'Cause the bus he takes each night is always right on time. It's gonna be a very merry Christmas.
There's gonna be a bus plunge.
Wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that, I mean, what a...
The bus isn't going to make it, is it?
What? What makes you think that?
There's a bomb on that bus, isn't there?
Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to...
Uh-oh.
We're sorry to interrupt this program, but a bulletin has just been handed me. There's been a serious accident involving the number 5 bus out of New Haven. The only information we have is that the bus skidded on a patch of ice and slammed into a tree. Stay tuned to this station for further details.
How did you call this?
Daddy was a suicide bomber.
No. No. It's going to be a real old-fashioned Christmas. So now Linda's, you know, getting ready for Daddy to come home.
He's coming with all the presents and everything.
Exactly.
And one of those presents was a bomb.
No. No. Linda hears this distressing news. How does she take it?
Mommy, isn't that the bus?
Oh, no.
Daddy rides each night. Put your mind at ease, my children. Everything's all right. Everyone, don't get excited. Things will be okay. Nothing bad is gonna happen on this Christmas day. It's gonna be a very merry Christmas with all the children by the Christmas tree. It's gonna be a real old-fashioned Christmas for my children, their daddy and me.
So Linda,
Daddy got radicalized and blew up the bus.
No,
and
Darren,
now it's his belief that he's going to have how many virgins in paradise?
No. Uh-huh. It's going to be a real old-fashioned Christmas. Everybody calm down, she says.
Yeah.
This is what they call denial.
Mm.
But I'm sure this is going to work out for Linda and her family, right?
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've just been handed the latest report involving bus number 5 out of New Haven.
And I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be happier to read it to you.
I get a real kick out of this.
I live for this sort of thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, when I took this job interrupting Christmas standards, I prayed that there would be some sort of catastrophe.
My
and little baby Jesus in the manger, it's happening.
My philosophy has always been first, if not accurate.
Indications, we're sorry to report that there were no survivors.
They spun into the Sea of Japan.
So a bus
somehow in New Haven, a bus skidding New Haven spins into the Sea of Japan. There were no survivors.
I'm very confused. The bus skidded on ice.
Yes.
And that
became airborne. Across the continental U.S. and the Pacific Ocean.
Ladies and gentlemen, I interrupt these public domain Christmas carols. Somehow a bus slipped on the ice and went into the jet stream.
That's up in the jet stream, Roddy.
Give me that again. Ladies and gentlemen, I am all the way erect right now.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I am
just
fully erect
from the base to the tip.
The latest report involving bus number 5 out of New Haven, and from all indications, we're sorry to report that there were no survivors.
And the police are not interested in notifying next of kin. You're hearing it here on the radio in between Christmas carols.
Someone bring me a New Haven style pizza.
I've been doing this shift for an hour now.
Whereas
I was told there'd be treats.
Everybody has the day off but me.
Now the conclusion.
Oh my God, this just can't happen. What am I to do? What have I got left in life to look forward to?
That's right.
Who will walk me down the aisle on my wedding day? Who is gonna buy me toys and take me out to play?
That's right.
Well, on the bright side, you can take that insurance money and finally buy a car so you don't have to ride around on a bus.
You're telling me Dad's dead, Mom? Who's gonna buy me toys?
Let's get the station wagon.
So
that
daughter,
cheap bastard would never buy.
Daughter's distraught because, like all teenage girls, all she can think about is her wedding day.
Uh-huh.
The little boy, like all boys, only thinks about toys, And Mom is considering ending her own life, because what does she have to look forward to?
Now that Dad's dead, I'm going to no longer save myself for marriage.
Daddy's dead on this Christmas day. Think I'll call my boyfriend Roy and we'll go all the way.
A white wedding dress is not going to be necessary.
She makes an announcement there at the tree. I'm going to turn into a full-on slut.
I'm going to give up my flower by New Year's Eve.
That got weird in a hurry.
It really did.
Who is gonna buy me toys and take me out to play?
Oh.
It's the cops to let them know. Is this severed head? Does it belong to anyone in your house?
Does this look like anything you...
We brought what we could scrape off the floor of the bus. Feel free to put this in your garden.
No.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
No.
No, it's late, and I missed my bus. Well, don't just stand there. Help me with these presents.
Yeah!
Other people die, die. Other people die, die. Other people.
What a thrill. All those people are dead, but not Daddy.
You know what is also dead? My virginity.
I lost it while we were waiting for you.
I lost it during that final verse.
While we were waiting
to the newsman.
This bulletin just handed to me. I'm sorry. This doesn't happen to me usually.
I might have just committed a crime.
You're 18, right? Ladies and gentlemen, this bulletin handed to me. I'm in a lot of trouble.
I can't cross state lines. My counsel has advised me to not say anything more.
This bulletin just handed to me. Police are on the lookout
for
a newsreader who's going around deflowering virgins, dealing with the grief of their dad who died in a bus that somehow went into the jet stream and landed in the Sea of Japan. Why is Daddy ringing the doorbell to his own house? Sorry I'm late. I missed my bus. The way that he says it, too, where it's like, mwah, mwah.
Well, then why is it you're arriving right on time? Why are you 5 minutes early?
I missed my bus by getting on the bus early?
What?
That's not how anything works.
No, that's...
Now it's Christmas.
That sounds like someone who planted a bomb. That sounds like someone who's trying to create an alibi.
Merry Christmas, everybody. It's gonna be just fine. Those people on that bus never had a chance, 'cause I cut the brake line. Hey, kids, I bought presents, but Daddy's presents was watching the looks on their faces as they went into that tree. It exploded. A bus skidding on the ice, it would have to go off a bridge, right? How else would this work? That's an old-fashioned Christmas, Daddy's Home, from, again, Linda Bennett, 1975. Linda Bennett, not Linda Barrett. If Linda Barrett were to put out a Christmas record...
Not Rona Barrett.
I would listen to that because she always thought I was cute. Doesn't anybody knock anymore? Or ring the doorbell to their own home? Merry Christmas, everybody.
How is it you're early? If you missed
the
bus...
Ladies and gentlemen, another bulletin has been handed to me. Police are on the lookout for a lunatic father who'd bought a bunch of toys... and killed a bunch of people on a bus. Tried to make it look like an accident. Oh no, that's me! Daddy's going to prison for Christmas. Who will buy me toys? Good God. Linda Bennett has no memory of recording that. They tracked her down, and she's okay.
That's the sort of thing you would say if you did it.
I missed the bus because I was out buying all these presents, and that's why I'm early. By the way, Dad, you take that bus every night. That means people you see every day are dead now, right? Like, you see the same faces on the bus if you take the bus at the same time. Hey, Merry Christmas to me, though. I wasn't on that bus. Good Lord.
Someone called earlier. They were looking for you. They said they were from some group called Black September.
All right, kids. Daddy's got a go bag in the closet. We got to get out of here. Don't even bother to put on your shoes. We got to scram.
Scram!
They're looking for me. Black September.
Number two.
I've got more people looking for advice from complete strangers. I'm always fascinated by your take on this, Darren. Can we begin with this one? Shall I tell anyone my boss threatened to fire me unless I left a work-related note at a coworker's relative's grave?
What?
3 weeks ago, one of my coworkers lost a relative.
Yes.
She has been off work on bereavement and family leave. Our boss is not happy with her being off for so long.
She's been gone for 3 weeks?
Yeah.
This has to be a very close relative.
Our boss isn't happy with her being off for so long since it's out of his control and he doesn't get to approve or deny her leave in this case. Okay. That's the HR department that's in charge of that.
Right.
I've been doing my best to ignore him whenever he complains about it. Last week, my boss gave me an envelope with my coworker's name on it and told me to go leave it at the grave of my coworker's relative.
So that when they go to visit the grave, there's a note?
He said it was a condolence card at first, but I did not buy that.
Yeah.
Because our work had already sent a card. When I asked him about it again, he said it was a note with some work-related items only she knows about and needs to answer ASAP.
Mm-hmm.
And she won't answer her personal, not work phone when he calls her. He gave me directions to the cemetery and everything. I hope you don't judge me for this, but I did what he said, and I brought the envelope to the grave.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if she's seen it yet. I'm horrified and disgusted with this, and I'm disgusted with myself. My boss threatened my job if I didn't do it, but that's still no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have a year of work experience, not counting internships in college, and I was scared of being fired, so I did it. But now I'm disgusted with myself, and I don't know what I should do about this. I imagine telling my boss off or telling his boss, but I'm scared to actually do it. I wish I'd never delivered the letter, but I don't know what to do next. Any help or tips you or your readers have would be so helpful.
Well, I don't know that I can help you now.
No.
I think this is what you could have done.
Uh-huh.
I would tend to think that you would say, I'm not going to do that. Or, if you are going to do that,
yeah.
If you want to let them think that you did it,
yeah.
You just say that you did it and don't do it.
Right.
Because, a wind couldn't grab a letter?
Or, you know, they have caretakers at the cemetery that are constantly taking things.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would have taken the letter and thrown it in the trash.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I did it. If you want me to do something as stupid as that, then I'll just, you don't need the truth.
I'll counter your stupid.
Yeah.
With stupid. Or logic, actually. The answer that Ask a Manager gives this
but what
particular
to do now,
question. Yeah. They say what you need to do is go to your company's human relations department.
Yeah.
It says here, your boss is officially the worst person in the world.
Well.
But you're not. You're brand new to the work world and you're scared of being fired. I guess, yeah. I would be happy to lose my job if I'd only been working a year if my boss wanted me to leave a work note at a coworker's family gravesite. Although, you know where they live. Why couldn't you deliver it to their house?
He's just not...
Your work has your home address. Why couldn't you just put it in the mail? No, I want her to get it at the gravesite.
They're going to the gravesite every day?
That's another thing.
Are you sure about that?
I don't know that that's how that works either.
Yeah, I don't know that that's necessarily a thing.
How about this? How can I convince my family that my 8-year-old niece insulted me by observing that I look different in a 20-year-old photo?
Why does this concern you?
My brother and his daughter came to stay with me and my husband over Thanksgiving.
And you went through some pictures.
They live a few hours away, so it's always a joy to be able to get together again. My niece Ivy is 8 years old.
Yeah.
My brother shares custody of Ivy with his ex. I know this might seem minor to some people, but I'm really irritated by a passive-aggressive comment that little Ivy made about me at my house. I have a framed picture of me at my high school graduation in my living room, amongst other pictures of me and my husband. Ivy pointed to the picture before dinner and asked who that was in the picture, and I explained that it was me. She said, "Oh, you look so different there." I know what she meant. She meant, "You're old and ugly. I graduated 20 years ago, and it stung to have that rubbed in my face."
Wow.
After dinner, when my husband and I were alone, I brought up the comment and how rude and hurtful it was.
See, there are no pictures of Ivy from 20 years ago.
My husband said that I was beautiful and not to overthink it or discuss it with my brother. That being said, if she's saying this to her own aunt, what is she out there saying to other people? I mentioned to my brother that I was hurt by Ivy underhandedly insulting my appearance, to which he said he didn't see it as an insult.
No.
He said he was going to give his daughter the benefit of the doubt, and I told him he needs to teach Ivy better manners. I just want someone to acknowledge my feelings and stop gaslighting me.
She's gaslighting you.
An 8-year-old.
I don't know that that's the correct term.
I'm also worried that this passive-aggressive behavior is going to become a pattern for Ivy, and she'll end up hurting a lot of other people around her. What can I do in this situation?
Yeah, I don't think this is a real letter.
No.
I think this is someone having fun with the advice column.
Well, the answer here is this is not gaslighting or a conspiracy to make you feel bad.
No, it's not.
It seems like you might have some deep-seated issues around your appearance. Maybe address those with a professional.
Yeah, I don't think that's a real letter. Well written, though.
Am I wrong to expect my colleague be available for meetings at 8 a.m.? My department works remotely, and we choose our set hours, so long as they're within an hour or so of 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. My colleague has chosen 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. However, when I try to schedule an 8 a.m. meeting, he says that's too early. A little later is okay. If I don't mind watching him eat breakfast. He says mornings are hard because of his morning workouts and suggests meeting at 9 a.m. Am I old-fashioned thinking colleagues should be ready for work during their workday unless their calendar is marked busy or out of the office? I mean, if the deal is you're working remotely at 8, then you're working remotely at 8, right? One last one. Should I ask my in-laws, whom I've known for 10 years, if I can call them by their first names? I've been married for 6 months and have only known...
What are you calling them?
This is so bizarre. I've been married for 6 months and have known my husband and his family for 10 years.
Yeah?
I get along well enough with his parents, but they are much more formal than mine and still haven't invited me to call them by their first names. Even when referring to each other in front of me, they might say, "Can you go and ask Mr. Smith if he'd like some coffee?" I'm a married woman in my 30s, and I'm a member of the family.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel infantilized and like an outsider to have to be calling them Mr. and Mrs. at the same time.
Yeah.
If I force the issue, I know I'll make them equally uncomfortable. How do I navigate this?
Well, you certainly don't need their permission.
No!
Now, I can see someone being uncomfortable where you don't want to call them mom and dad.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Because it's like, you're not my mom and dad.
No.
I have a mom and dad.
Yeah, right.
But having said that, plenty of people do.
Sure.
Do that.
That's fine if that's what you want to do.
Right, exactly. It's fine.
Yeah. No. If my in-laws wanted me to call them by their last name, that's not happening.
Right.
What are you going to do? You don't have any power here. That's bizarre, though.
Hey, you.
Do they call it? I wonder if they call each other by their last names.
Well, they're saying. Like, she's saying that that's the case.
Well, they're calling each other when there's another person in the room. If it's just the two of them, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then in the car ride, are the in-laws like, Mrs. Smith, should we stop for a coffee before we go somewhere? Yes, Mr. Smith.
Well, maybe they do. They do it, but it's just it's a lark.
Is it like a kink?
Yeah. It's just a goofy thing we do.
Call me by your name. Okay. Well, there you go. I think we've solved all of these problems.
Would you like to get a bite to eat, Lady Mountbatten?
My lovely common law wife, the lovely Miss Angelique.
Are they doing that sort of thing? And you're taking it seriously?
I think I'm into it.
Yeah.
More of that, please.
Number three.
A little bit later on in the show, we're going to be balancing an egg for the winter solstice. You won't want to miss that. Today is December the 21st, and it is winter solstice. Today's the day that the sunset is aligned at Stonehenge. The primary axis of Stonehenge, oriented to the setting sun. And they think that it might be of some sort of religious significance to whoever built Stonehenge. The little people of Stonehenge. And oh, how they danced. Purpose of Stonehenge, we still don't know what it's there. No one knows who they were or what they were doing.
Will we be doing Stonehenge tonight?
No, we're not going to do Stonehenge.
I'd like to raise a very practical question at this point.
It's the best. Yes, it is going to be officially winter at 9:59. So we got a half an hour. And that will be when the North Pole is aimed farthest away from the sun at a 23.5-degree tilt of the Earth's axis.
Old man winter.
The sun shining directly over the Tropic of Capricorn. Enjoy it at 9:59. Regardless of where you live, the solstice happens at the same moment for everyone on the planet. Although, you know, in the southern hemisphere, it's not the winter solstice. It's spring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that how that works? The next solstice...
No, it'd be summer. No, not spring. Not spring.
Duh. Of course it does. That's what that means.
Old man winter.
Solstice means, roughly in Latin, it translates to sun stand still. Solstice from the Latin solstitium. Yes, hand of God, titium. Sol, of course, means sun.
Don't worry, there'll be plenty to hang on to.
Ancient Romans would celebrate reversals at the midwinter festival of Saturnalia. That was a festival that they would have on this day. It began as a festival to honor the agricultural god Saturn. They had this festival to commemorate the dedication of his temple in the year 497 BC.
Yeah, like those Saturn barbecues they had for everyone.
It quickly became a time of widespread revelry and debauchery in which societal roles were overturned. Masters served the people they enslaved, and servants were allowed to insult their masters. Mask wearing and play acting, also a big part of Saturnalia's reversals. Each household would elect a king of misrule. Saturnalia was gradually replaced by Christmas. Throughout the Roman Empire.
Christmas.
Mm-hmm. But nobody does that on Christmas. You don't let, you don't go for back talk on your Christmas, do you? Some traditions hold that dark spirits walk the earth on the winter solstice. Zoroastrian lore holds that evil spirits wander the earth and forces of the destructive spirit of Ahiraman are strongest on this long night. you are encouraged to stay up most of the night in the company of other people, eating, talking, sharing poetry and stories, so that you don't run into any dark entities. Beliefs about the presence of evil on the longest night are also echoed in Celtic and Germanic folklore. There was a time that people believed that the world was going to end. Remember, 9 years ago, the whole Mayan calendar was going to come to an end, the end of the 5,126-year cycle. And people thought there'd be some sort of cataclysmic event that was going to bring about the end of the world. That didn't happen. And while it doesn't feel like it here in the northern hemisphere, we're actually closer to the sun in early January than we are at any other time. We are farther away from the sun in July than we are in January. Does that make any sense? Despite the proximity to the sun, the reason it's cold is because of the sunlight, the tilt, right? That's why it's cold. The northern hemisphere is tilted away from the sun in winter and towards it in July. But we're actually closer to the sun this time of year than we are in summer, at least, again, in the northern hemisphere. So there's that. January and February will be the coldest days in our hemisphere, despite the fact that we get more sunlight than we do in December.
January, February, June, and July.
What are you, Neil Sedaka? In China, they celebrate something...
I love my little calendar girl.
They celebrate something called Dong Zhi for winter solstice. That means winter arrives. It's an important festival where families gather and celebrate the past year. Festival also believed to have originated as a way to mark the end of the harvest season. Dong Zhi correlates the concept of yin and yang.
Hi, I'm Z. This is Dong.
Oh, hello, Dong. It's the shortest day of the year, but does that mean it's the earliest sunset? No. In fact, that's already happened. The earliest sunset was December 7th or 8th, depending on where you're at. The way we calculate time is screwy. So we've already had the earliest sunset, but it's the shortest day because of, you know, sunrise and sunset. We get the shortest amount of
sunrise, daylight. Sunset.
I love that you're making this a musical feature. You're really, this solstice bit is really playing to your strengths.
If I was a rich man.
Oh, wow. There's an ancient tomb in Ireland, apparently, that the sun illuminates only during the winter solstice. Newgrange, which was a tomb that they built in Ireland. They built it 1,000 years before Stonehenge. And during the winter solstice, it lights up dramatically. There's a roof box above the entrance that coordinates with the light from the winter solstice so that a beam of light travels all over the place and illuminates the chamber for 17 minutes. The attraction is so popular that visitors can only gain entrance to the chamber on solstice mornings, and you have to go win a ticket in a lottery. Like in late September, they have this lottery to go and see the tomb light up.
Here's a ticket for you.
I got you that tomb. I got you the tomb ticket for you.
This is for you.
Enjoy it. We're going to go look at the tomb get lit up. Sure, and it'll be great. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's nuts that 1,000 years before Stonehenge, these people were able to figure out how to build some massive structure that would light up on the winter solstice. You think that's crazy? That's crazy.
Just pay attention. Just pay attention.
Winter solstice celebrants sometimes would eat hallucinogenic mushrooms. Rituals included drying and stringing the mushrooms near the hearth. One theory says that the legend of Santa Claus actually came from a story of ancient shamans who would collect mushrooms, dry them, and then hand them out as gifts on winter solstice.
It's for you!
All while dressed in mushroom-mimicking red suits with white spots. Santa's a dealer, and he's handing out shrooms. That's where the whole story comes from. That would also explain why his face is so flushed, right? And the idea of flying reindeer, you've got to be, you got to be
kidding me,
tripping on something to come up with that, right?
Oh no, my eyes are turning bloodshot. I'm going on a trip. I look like I'm doped out of my gourd.
Merry Christmas. Hope you. Santa Claus comes from the from a
Santa
time when
Claus.
You want me to hand out psychoactive mushrooms
like Santa Claus.
So Santa wears a red and white costume because that's what the mushrooms look like.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy would dress up and hand out presents, and the presents were psychedelic mushrooms, ancient shamans. Wow. Well, that's wow. That explains everything.
Number four.
Have you taken advantage of the Mariah menu at all?
At McDonald's?
Yeah.
I have not.
I'm shocked to learn
that's
this.
That's going on now?
Yeah, yeah.
And what can
it's
I get?
Been going on. Well, it's a different thing each day.
What is it today?
The other day, I got a Big Mac
hamburger
sandwich.
You did not.
I did, and I was going to send you a picture of it, but
who'd you get it for?
Myself.
You did not.
Well, but I customized it, so no special sauce.
So then...
And no onions and no cheese, no pickles. It was just basically a hamburger sandwich with lettuce.
No, you didn't.
I did. I should have taken a picture of it.
They didn't make it that way for you.
No, they do. You can customize it.
So you just basically had a hamburger with extra bread?
Yeah. That's this right here, what you're doing right here, this is why I didn't take a picture and send it to you.
Uh-huh.
This is why I didn't share it with you immediately, because I thought you're going to think I'm not really eating a Big Mac.
You didn't do
and
it.
I guess I'm not.
You're not.
Yeah.
You didn't.
Right, right.
But okay, so what sort of deal can I get today?
I know yesterday was apple pie. I don't know what today is.
Hot apple pie?
Yeah, which, you know, I don't. Frankly, that doesn't do anything for me. I just like the idea that Mariah Carey personally selected all of the items on, the menu.
What she should have done is teamed up with Hardee's.
Why would that be better?
So that she could have the big twin.
Okay.
Bring that back.
Today, it's a sausage McMuffin for free. If you order on the mobile app and you spend $1, you get something free. And today, it's a sausage McMuffin. Tomorrow looks like it's a double hamburger, a sausage biscuit for the 23rd, and then Christmas Eve, free cookies if you're so inclined.
But today, like a double hamburger sandwich?
Again, today is a sausage McMuffin with egg. Tomorrow is double cheeseburger sandwich. Mm. Then sausage biscuit on Thursday and chocolate chip cookies for Christmas Eve. These are items that Ms. Mariah Carey has hand-selected.
Handmade.
Well, she's not making them.
Yeah, all artisan.
Did you enjoy your hotcakes?
Yes.
Mariah Carey made them for you.
Oh,
I hope you enjoy. You're very lucky. Is Mariah's menu the best deal ever? I'm certainly not qualified to have an opinion on this, but you know who is?
Mariah Carey?
The report of the week, Darren.
Ah.
With
food. Hello, everyone. This is Running on Empty.
Food review.
Well, hello, ladies, gentlemen, and everyone watching. I'm your host, the Report of the Week.
Report of the Week.
Thank you for tuning in to this newest edition of the Running on Empty food review series.
Does he seem down? I'm worried about my man here.
Does he know who Mariah Carey is?
I have no idea who this singer is. Apparently,
oh, my God, I just saw a picture of her. I can't stop salivating.
The last time I saw a figure like this, a cartoon wolf had his eyes bulge out of his head.
My God, I thought I was properly weaned as a baby.
He's going to act like he doesn't know who Mariah Carey is,
yeah,
right?
Something.
And I don't think it's an act, because he's probably listening to, Benny Goodman most of his free time. He's got a Spotify account that's just for Glenn Miller.
So, number one, I apologize that I haven't been able to do any videos lately. I know I try to do content at least with some degree of regularity. And I know I've been, maybe absent for a little longer than you.
I had something of an accident. I crashed through some a false flooring.
He didn't fall through the ceiling again.
Jimmy, It was a...
Oh, man, I'm concerned. He seems down.
It was a very dark skylight.
He's constantly falling out of ceilings. I was playing a game I call Cat Burglar.
I went right through the
ceiling, took the insulation and everything with me.
I was trying to retrieve a Frisbee for a neighbor child.
Usual. I haven't been feeling well the last few days.
Oh, no!
As a matter of fact, it's probably been the worst I've been feeling, you know, at least sick-wise, for years.
Oh, no!
And, you know, based on all the signs, I mean, it's a very, very high likelihood that it probably is COVID.
So help me God, COVID-19. If you take report of the week, that's a bridge too far. Oh, no.
Everything. The good news, though, is that I'm feeling a bit better. I mean, it's very gradual, you know, each day a tiny little bit better than the last. But a little bit better than I have the past couple days.
Yeah, he looks rough, man.
So, and now I'm going to be reviewing a Clorox bleach.
I'm here in Dallas. We're drinking it out of a communal bowl. I can't see this ending anything other than great.
So I did want to get to the camera for a little bit and do a review. This is the deal with the century.
Okay, I'm just going to stop you right here, Report of the Week. I hope you're not going into restaurants with COVID. I mean, as much as I enjoy the content...
The show must go on!
If I happen to cough in the lobby general. There, those are collateral damages. I'm willing to accept it.
Right here. So, you know, sick or not, this is just one that you can't pass up. Can't even say that with a straight face. The Mariah Carey...
That's all you have is a straight face. That's your entire existence. Can't even say that with a straight face, ladies and gentlemen.
Putting people in harm's way or not, I must review this sandwich.
I haven't felt this sick since the Spanish Influenza 1917.
Menu from McDonald's. It came out on the 13th, and again, there's no way I'd be able to try it then. But I still did want to at least visit it and give a few thoughts thereon, and that'll be that. So, one other question you might have, you know, is your sense of smell and taste and all that there? It is. So that's another reason why I could still do this.
Oh, yeah, that was my first question. Can you still smell and taste things? Well, I mean, the thing is, normally his food reviews are about new items.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing in the Mariah menu that's new.
No.
So this is just going to be him eating a cheeseburger?
It's just one cheeseburger. I think the big question, what the heck does this even have to do with Mariah Carey? And no one knows. I have no clue what this has to do with her.
No one knows.
No one really knows at all. And that's that. It's just like there's a meal deal and they slapped Mariah Carey's name on it. I mean... I guess maybe she has eaten a cheeseburger before. I guess there you have it. So that explains the connection today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, everybody. Whatever God you believe in, pray for a report of the week. Because I can't have anything happening to him. He does not look like he's in... There's not that vigor that I normally associate when we spend our time watching him eat garbage. I was hoping for something, you know. I was hoping for just him reacting to Mariah Carey, but it.
I was too sick to eat, but I needed to go see my friends down at the McDonald's.
Yeah, Mariah Carey, though, certainly a very prominent musician and singer through the decades. You know, her music lives on. I mean, she's still here, obviously, but you know, All I Want for Christmas and everything, that gets on the charts and the radio every single holiday season, you know?
No, not every
holiday
season.
That's what I mean
season.
By that. It just keeps going and going, and it's a...
They don't play songs, it during the 4th of July.
You know, it does get you in the mood, though, the holiday spirit. But, no, it's a decent deal, though. I'd recommend taking advantage of it. Again, some free items, why not? So, all in all...
She has a very ample bosom.
Yeah, they should just... You know what they should do? They should just fill up a McDonald's bag full of milk and just hand it to you. There you go. 2 bags of milk, if you please.
Decent concept. Kind of silly to just slap someone's name on it, but that's all that there is
to
it.
Yeah, he's not feeling well, so I'm going to let this slide. But yeah, come on. Come on, man. If you think Mariah Carey wasn't intimately involved in every detail of the Mariah Carey menu, I mean, that's on you, man. You got to do your research, son. You're going to do content. I understand that you're sick with COVID, but do some research.
You're clearly hallucinating.
She might be in the room with me right now. Good Lord.
In the form of a potted plant.
Number five.
I've got another one of these world records that, frankly, I'm not that impressed by. If you had to guess, what would you... And I'm going to make you guess. World's largest collection of snow globes.
How many?
Yeah. How many snow globes would you have to have in order to have the Guinness World Record for the largest collection of snow globes?
5,400.
5,400? Solid guess. You would be way in the lead because the current record is 4,200.
Well,
4,238 snow globes.
I don't think that's a bad guess then.
No, I think your guess is great. I would have assumed it was like 50,000.
Where would you put 50,000?
Well, listen, man, it's the world record.
I understand.
You're saying no one in the world has more snow globes than you. The problem is this Chinese woman who has the world record for the largest collection of snow globes, she has no more room. The collection is 4,238 snow globes.
Well, that's the thing. I was guessing that she has all of these in a house, in a dwelling.
Yeah.
She doesn't have like a barn's worth.
Well, you'd have to get a barn.
You would have to have a barn.
That's my snow globe barn. Wendy Soon lives in Shanghai. She's had the record for the largest collection of snow globes since 2005. Back then, it was 904 snow globes. And she just keeps adding and adding and adding. She says, whenever I see a new globe that I don't already have, and it matches my selection criteria, I have the urge to get it.
And you say that you want to work for Guinness, and then you end up in Shanghai counting 4,200 snow globes.
All right.
This is my job. Nope. This is how I'm spending my days.
Nobody throw out any numbers when I'm counting, because then I got to start
all over again.
Whenever I see a new globe that I don't have, it matches my selection criteria, I have the urge to get it. So what you're saying is you're somebody who likes to buy snow globes. I think we picked up on that. She says here, it just excites me to add them to my collection. The satisfaction of finally completing an entire set is so pleasing beyond words. I didn't realize that snow globes came in sets. She says because she's running out of room, she's got to be more picky about what she's adding to the snow globe connection.
Again, she doesn't have a snow globe barn in Shanghai.
No. No, she probably should, though. She says, instead of buying any globe, even ones at the dollar shop, I am now only attracted to globes with better craftsmanship, prettier looks, more creative designs, or a discontinued globe that's rare.
I don't come in contact with that many snow globes.
No.
Don't you have to kind of go looking for that? Even if you're just kind of in the mall, how many snow globes are you going to see?
Well, and it's not something, snow globes aren't something that you're going to see on the store shelves in April, right?
Yeah.
So it's like a seasonal thing to even purchase. The most expensive snow globe in her collection is a Louis Vuitton designed snow globe. That cost about $10,000. She says she estimates that she has spent $165,000 on snow globes over the years.
We should have had the Amazing Larry Silent Night snow globe back in the day, where there's Larry. You can clearly see that there's Larry as Santa Claus.
Yeah.
You can see the last plane leaving.
So his Susan Boyle submission?
Yes, exactly.
We would have made it a snow globe?
We turned that into a snow globe.
I was driving home yesterday, and there was someone with a personalized Rod G Iowa license plate.
Huh. R-O-G-E-E?
It was R-A-G-E-E-E-E, I think.
Rod G.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I wondered, like, is that Amazing Larry connected? I tried to take a picture, but then I thought, Well, I can't post this. You can't be posting people's like license plates.
It's surveillance.
Yeah, exactly. But I was so pleased. I was like, oh, and then I just assumed. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, if I were to ask them, they'd be like, I don't know who Amazing Larry is. And
are you guys on the radio?
I missed the show.
I really missed the show. I wish you guys were on the radio.
Yeah, we are. It's been a thing now we for get a year
it.
And a half.
We get it.
I know.
We get it.
I know. I get it. Well, congratulations to Wendy of Shanghai, who again has this
seems like too many
for snow globes. It does.
But the idea, she says she's only purchasing certain ones now,
mm-hmm.
better made snow globes. I bet it's still tough. It's still tough for her to probably walk by a snow globe that is of lesser quality
yeah.
that she knows she doesn't have. It's like, ooh.
Years ago, I had a snow globe. It was a Solozzi Edelson Chevrolet snow globe.
Okay.
And it had Solozzi and Edelson on it. And instead of
are
snow,
they in the snow globe?
Well, no, because the gimmick was that they had in their commercials. Solozzi and Edelson were a car dealership in Chicago.
It sounds like it.
And they would always end. You would see them. I'm sure you would see the commercials here, like during Cub games or Bulls games.
Uh-huh.
They would end the commercial saying, Solozzi Edelson, where you always save more money. And then they would throw money up into the air.
Mm.
So instead of snow, it was like little dollar bills. And you'd shake it up and they
little dollar bills.
Oh, I had so much fun with that snow globe.
They were the first ones to make it rain.
Yeah, right, right. They kind of invented that. I think it ended badly for those two.
It typically does.
It was like a Martin and Lewis situation. I think egos got in the way.
It was more of a Rory Storm and his mom type thing.
No.
Which... if you don't know what that is, look it up.
It didn't.
Not the best.
It didn't end well.
Uh-uh. No, it didn't. It didn't end well for Ringo's original employer.
They were so popular that they ended up showing up in different commercials for different things. Like they did Bud Light commercials, or they did like a Pizza Hut commercial where they would end and say, where we always get great pepperoni. And then they would like throw pepperoni. Like they became more famous as pitchmen than anything else. But yeah, they parted ways like 20 some years ago.
Sounds like a good gig though.
Yeah, well.
But you're saying not.
Nick Solozzi and Maury Edelson.
You're saying.
At the corner of York and Roosevelt Road.
But you're saying not murder suicide.
No, no, no. I think it ended. I think they just decided that they. They couldn't work together. But they would throw a large amount of cash up in the air. Which, honestly, like...
or whatever they were pitching at the time. Yeah, it's like...
right. Right.
It's the mid-90s, and we're trying to sell some McJordans.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't...
really, it seems like a waste to throw these hamburgers in the air. It
doesn't really translate.
Barbecue sauce is going to get everywhere.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's Dave and Darren's top five things. So glad you downloaded it and listened to it. Hopefully you're subscribing to it as well. And if you get a chance, leave a review. Also want to say thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they've got two locations, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. You can order recreational items online from both the locations now. And also make sure that you celebrate the holiday season at NTI. Their sales are available right now. They've got specials each and every day, so check that out. And again, the sales are available at both locations while supplies last. Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower vapes, edibles, and so much more.
Until we get a chance to give you another one of these podcasts, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Well, it was fun. I'm going to go take a nap now, and then I think I'm going to call some hospitals.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.